Can you believe Walk Through Bethlehem, I believe, is just over 3 weeks away. Is that right? I think exactly 3 weeks from tonight is the full dress rehearsal. And I can't believe it's come so fast. And with Walk Through Bethlehem being so close, I've geared my message really towards focusing on praying for Walk Through Bethlehem. But then, as I said, praising and giving glory unto God. Do you believe that prayer makes a difference? But do we pray as if prayer makes a difference? That's the real question. I love the story about the boy that went to the pharmacy and he picked up 3 boxes of chocolate. And this story always gives me a chuckle. And he went to the counter with a small box, a medium box, and a large box of chocolate. And the pharmacist was checking him out, and he was curious. And he said, "Why the 3 boxes of chocolate?" And the young man said, "Well, I'm going on a date tonight with this girl. It's our first date. And we're going to have dinner, and I'm going to meet her family first, and then we're going to go out afterwards. And I have 3 boxes of chocolate, because after the date is over, if she lets me give her a hug after the date, I'm going to give her the little box of chocolate. If she lets me give her a kiss on the cheek, she's going to get the medium box of chocolate. But if she lays the smack down on me, she gets the big box of chocolate." And the pharmacist is looking at him and said, "Okay," and he checks him out, and the guy leaves. And then he goes and gets ready, goes home, gets ready, and goes to the girl's home for dinner. And they're all sitting down for dinner, and as they're sitting down for dinner, he raises his hand, and he volunteers to pray for the meal. And as he's praying for the meal, he prays this intense prayer for about 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. And after he's done praying, the girl looks over at him and said, "I didn't know that you were such a prayerful person." And he said, "I didn't know your father was the pharmacist." Would you say that young man believed prayer made a difference, huh? He knew he was in a fix, and he was hoping that prayer would bail him out, that prayer would make a difference in his life. If you have a copy of the Bible, open it up with me this evening to John chapter 17. John 17. And as I said tonight, we're focusing on prayer. And here in John 17, we have a very deep and profound prayer of Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is of ours to be able to eavesdrop on the Son of God when he prays, and it's recorded for us in the Bible, to actually hear what Jesus prays. What an amazing thing it is to hear what Jesus prays. So I want us to look at these words tonight, John 17, if you look with me at verse number 1 through 4. It says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes towards heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the one, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Verse 4, Jesus says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Would you bow your heads with me in prayer tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you would help us to clearly see what you want us to see from your word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And here in this passage, what an amazing passage it is. It is Jesus preparing for the greatest event in history. The greatest event in history. And as he says in here, it's him about to give his life that you and I might have life, that we might have eternal life. And for us at Crossroads, as I said, we're about 3 weeks away. And as Jesus said in verse number 1, the hour is come. For us, the hour is coming. The hour is come for us also for the greatest event that we do here at Crossroads. And that is Walk Through Bethlehem. And that's where we tell others of the greatest event ever in human history. It's where we come together collectively as a group, and as we prepare and as we perform, walk through Bethlehem, may we also incorporate this same prayer of Jesus and have that testimony that Jesus spoke of in verse number 4. Look at it with me one more time. He says, I have glorified thee, says it to God, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And as I said, this is a very deep prayer of Jesus, but I really just want to focus just tonight on these four verses. And first of all, I want you to notice who is doing the praying. And as we said, it's Jesus Christ himself. Look with me again at verse number 1. It says, these words spake who? Jesus. These words spake Jesus. And he lifted his eyes to heaven. You know, Jesus was praying, and as he was praying to God, he was just looking up into the sky. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and I know for the most part when we pray, we bow our heads and we pray, but sometimes it's just sweet. It's just sweet just to lift our eyes up to heaven and pray. And sometimes at home in the evenings when I'm outside at nighttime, I'll do that. I'll walk outside. Kathy will say, I'm out there sometimes for quite a while. And I'll go outside. And as I'm outside and at nighttime, I'll do that. I'll just look up and I'll just pray to God. You know, I'll look at under the moonlight, under the stars, and I'll talk to God and I'll pray to God. And I don't think the mode of your prayer really matters a whole lot to God. The point is, as long as you pray, as long as you pray. And the thing that really impressed upon my heart at the beginning of this passage is this, is that Jesus Christ, being the very sinless Son of God, needed and desired to pray. You know, lest we think that we don't need to pray, that we really don't need to pray, Jesus did. You know, lest we think that man, we're too busy or we don't feel like praying, Jesus did. Jesus saw the need to pray and desired to do just that. Hold your place here at John 17 and turn back with me one book to Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, this is an interesting passage here because, as I said, sometimes if we're just going to be very realistic and honest in our lives, me included, sometimes we don't pray as often as we should. You know, maybe we get too busy, we get caught up in the other things of our day that to us take priority. You know, maybe we can't fit prayer into our daily schedule as we should. You know, maybe we don't feel like praying. I mean, we're human. These things come into play. But I want to show you this example here in Scripture in Luke chapter number 5. You know, we see Jesus right in the height of Jesus' ministry. Multitudes of thousands are coming to Jesus. Miracles are being performed. And what does Jesus do among all the busyness of his life? Jesus takes time to pray, lest we have an excuse that we're too busy to pray. Jesus prayed. Look with me here at verse number 15. It says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and be healed of him of their infirmities. So things are going great here. As I said, Jesus' ministry, he is booming. He's at the height of his ministry. But what does Jesus do? The rest of that says this, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He prayed. You know, it seems like when we're down in the dumps, if we're going through a valley in our lives, we'll call out to God in prayer. I do that too. You know, I think most of us do that. That's when we're more inclined to pray. But what about when things are going all right? What about when things are going good in our lives? Do we still see that same need in our lives to pray to God? What a great example we have here of Jesus Christ, because Jesus prayed even when things were going well. Vital to his ministry, vital to the miracles that he was performing, vital to the preaching, Jesus saw the need to pray. He saw prayer as being vital to those things that were going on in his life. Jesus withdrew himself, the Bible said, to pray. And from reading about the throngs of people in these passages that were coming to Jesus, I don't doubt that Jesus stayed very busy. I'm sure much more busy than I'll ever be. Yet Jesus took time to pray. And I'm sure he was tired in his human state. You know, maybe he didn't feel like praying. Well, as I said, Jesus experienced the same human fatigue as you and I feel as well. And I'm sure Jesus probably didn't feel like praying, but he did. And with Walk Through Bethlehem coming up in 3 weeks from now, if we want Walk Through Bethlehem to be successful, no matter what we have going on in our lives, no matter how tired that we may be, no matter if we feel like it or we don't feel like it, if we want Walk Through Bethlehem to be successful, we must take time to pray. If we want to see God do something special and Walk Through Bethlehem, it's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen because of people praying for Walk Through Bethlehem. Look with me again at Luke, but this time look with me at chapter number 6, verse number 12. The Bible says in verse 12, chapter 6, verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he," Jesus, "went out into a mountain to pray. And it says he continued all night in prayer to God." All night. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and just started praying? I had that happen to me a couple times this week. Just in the middle of the night, I just woke up and just felt compelled to just start praying. And sometimes we do that. We wake up in the wee hours of the night and we pray. But here we see that the very Son of God prayed all night, all night. Turn back with me one more book to Mark chapter number 1. In Mark 1, verse number 32. Mark writes here, he says, "And at even," or evening, "when the sun did set, they brought unto him," brought unto Jesus, "all that were diseased." Man, all that were diseased. Again, you know, Jesus is staying really busy. Throngs of people are coming to him. "All that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door." Man, there's multitudes of people there. And it says, "And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and he cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." And then it says this, it says, "And in the," what? "Morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, he departed into a solitary place, and there prayed," prayed. What's the point? The point is this, is that Jesus placed no time constraints on his prayer life. Sometimes there were short prayers we read about in Scripture. Sometimes the prayers that we read about, he agonized in prayer for hours, even all night. We have recorded in Scripture that Jesus prayed during the day. He prayed early in the morning. We have recorded in Scripture that he prayed at night. Sometimes Jesus prayed in public. At other times, he departed into a solitary place and he prayed in private. But the fact of the matter is this, and that is that Jesus prayed. He prayed. I don't think it matters to God what mode, whether your head's bowed, whether you're looking into the sky. I don't think it matters to God whether you're praying in public as Jesus did or you're praying in private. But the fact of the matter is this, what pleases God is that you pray, that you take time and you pray. Remember this, that Jesus, he was truly God, but he also was truly man. And as a man, he prayed, setting a great example for us to go to the Father with our prayers. Look back with me at John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, I want you to see something else here. I want you to see something here that transpires in verse number 1, once again, John 17, 1. It says here, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come." The hour is come, is what Jesus says here. You know, this prayer was focused This was a prayer that was focused on a particular time period. There was something that compelled Jesus to pray right then and there. And that was that Jesus was finishing his preparation, and he was soon to be his time to perform, so to speak, to do what he had been preparing for. You know, if you look, this is a great series of chapters here in the book of John. It's one of the greatest sections of teaching in the entire Bible. You don't have to turn there, but in John chapter number 13, for instance, Jesus taught his disciples about service, and then he demonstrated it. He did it by doing what? Washing his disciples' feet. In John chapter number 14, the next chapter, he taught them about heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my house there are many mansions. And he goes, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, ye may be also. He taught his disciples about heaven, taught them about heaven. He taught his disciples in chapter 14 and all 14 as well how to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In chapter 15, we get more wonderful teaching from Jesus. He talks about abiding in him. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He said, for without me, you can do nothing. John chapter number 15. You know, we go to John chapter number 16. In John 16, Jesus taught them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he talked them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught them in chapter 16 about love. He taught them about prayer. And when Jesus taught them all these things, and as he was wrapping up this incredible, as I said, series of chapters on these subjects, and when he had finished teaching them, Jesus did exactly what he taught them to do. Jesus prayed. And that's the beginning of chapter 17, is Jesus now prayed. And Jesus would also pray in this chapter for those who would later come to faith in him. And so as we get ready in 3 weeks to perform what we have prepared for, we must pray for people to come. We must pray for people to hear. We must pray for people to receive. We must pray for people to believe. You know, as we're performing at Walk Through Bethlehem, as we act, as we sing, as we teach, as we minister, again, we still need to continue to pray that hearts would be open and people would be receptive to coming to faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we're not going to accidentally have 1,000 people pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior that night for the first time. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen through preparation, and preparation includes prayer. If you haven't started yet, I encourage you to start praying for the souls that will come to Walk Through Bethlehem. It's time to start praying, and it's a wonderful thing to have that opportunity to communicate with God just as Jesus did. We're allowed that same opportunity as well. Our prayers, the Bible says, are communicated through the Holy Spirit of God, who helps us to pray when sometimes we don't know exactly what to say. The Bible says that when we pray, we're praying through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. Our prayers go directly to God. It's such an incredible privilege, as I said, for us to pray and also to be able to read a prayer from the Son of God, from the lips of Jesus Christ. And this special prayer from Jesus, as I said, it was during a time of preparation, but also a time to prepare for what he was to perform what he had been preparing for. Jesus is about to face the cross. And now when he says, Father, the hour is come. What hour is he talking about? He's talking about his crucifixion. And you know, prayer prepares us for anything. The best preparation for anything is prayer. So whenever you're facing something in life, you can handle it one of two ways. You can worry about it, or you can pray about it. You can worry about it, or you can pray about it. And we've got to make sure that we take time and we pray. And if you just take prayer and you just analyze prayer, that's what prayer is all about. It's taking your requests unto God. In the Bible, it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. But prayer, in addition to you taking your request unto God, prayer is about giving God the glory. It's about giving glory to God. And that's what our lives really should be all about. It shouldn't be, our life shouldn't be about us talking about or us posting about how wonderful our lives are. But our magnification should not be of ourselves, but our magnification should be of God. As John the Baptist said, hey, you know, we should look like this, and we should make God out to look like this. Why? Because God is awesome, and God deserves the glory. And, you know, sometimes I think that we kind of have it backwards, and sometimes I think that we pray for things in our own lives, but we don't pray for things that are much bigger than us. Walk through Bethlehem is much bigger than us. Thousands of people to come to walk through Bethlehem is much bigger than us. It's something that we should pray for, again, because it's much bigger than us. And you and I, individually and collectively, we can pray together, as I said, and turn it over to God and watch God do what only what God can do. As I said, at the end of this passage here in Scripture, after these chapters, Jesus' teaching is almost complete, and his finished work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead that guarantees eternal life for all who believe is about to take place. So Jesus is, as I said, getting ready to perform, to do what he had to prepare for, just like us at Walk Through Bethlehem. Our city of Walk Through Bethlehem is almost complete. The walls and the roofs are up. The shops are being decorated. The actors have been practicing. There's just so much going on, but now it's time to prepare to perform in 3 weeks, to finish the work that God has given us to do. Why? So that we can glorify God on this earth, just as Jesus Christ said in verse number 4. Look at it with me once again. Jesus said in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Thou gavest me. You know, I believe this. I believe that the most important thing that you and I could ever say when we come to die is this. It's simply that I did what God gave me to do. I mean, what could be greater than that, than say, I finished the work that God gave me to do? So what's it take in order for us to say that? Number one, it takes knowledge of what God wants you to do. And then number two, it takes you to have the power in order to do it. Because you got to know what God wants you to do, and you've got to have the power to do it. So how do I do that, Pastor Rich? How do I know what God wants me to do, and how do I have the power to do it? The answer lies in these two words. It lies in you being in Christ. Say that with me. In Christ. One more time. In Christ. It depends on you being in Christ. You know, how are we going to see 1,000 people once again trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and walk through Bethlehem this year? It's not going to be by you and I trying the best we can. No. It's going to be by letting Jesus Christ finish the work. Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but who liveth in me? Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. When Jesus was sweating tears of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out this. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Right before Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, he said these three words. He said, it is finished. It's so cool that we read this prayer before what was performed. He said, hey, finish the work that you gave me to do. Some of his last words on the cross, it is finished. It's finished. It's finished. You see, when I think about Jesus Christ, I see the greatest example in Scripture of someone that was surrendered to God to do whatever God wanted him to do. Hey, God, Jesus. Hey, God, if you want me to preach on the Sermon on the Mount, I'll preach it. If you want me to shout at the grave of Lazarus, I'll shout. If you want me to wash the disciples' feet, I'll wash the disciples' feet. Hey, if you want me to spit on the ground and you want me to make clay and you want me to anoint the blind man's eyes, guess what? I'll do that too. The equivalent for us in Walk Through Bethlehem would be, hey, if you need me to park cars, I'll help direct traffic in the parking lot and park cars. If you need me to serve hot chocolate, I'll serve hot chocolate. If you need me to bring in cookies, I'll bring in cookies. If you need me to greet people, if you need me to do child care, no matter what you need me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Jesus had that attitude. You see, all these things come together for one common goal. All the things that we do come together for one common goal. And that is to see people come to Christ and also to glorify God. To glorify God. You know, the will of God is not a roadmap. The will of God is a relationship. It's a relationship that you have with the person of Jesus Christ. When you're walking with Christ, you can't miss God's will for your life. When you're walking with the Lord in your life, it's not a guessing game as far as what God wants you to do. It's crystal clear. Why? Because you have Christ where? You've got Christ in you. He is your life. And when Christ is your life, you will have that desire, as Jesus did, to do whatever the Lord wants you to do. We're tools. We're those tools in the carpenter's hand. Jesus sometimes referred to as a carpenter. And, you know, we're those tools in the carpenter's hand. And we're not committed to a task, but we're committed to Jesus Christ. The problem sometimes is we're surrendered to a task. Man, we don't surrender to a task. We surrender to a person. We surrender to Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be picking and choosing what we want to do. We just say, hey, Lord, just use me wherever there's a place to serve, wherever there's a need. And then when you turn yourself over to the Lord and you surrender to him and you say, hey, not my will, your will be done, that's when you can watch him do what only he can do. And Jesus Christ, through God, can do anything above what we could ever imagine or think. But it requires us to be surrendered to him. In the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah, they're a great example of people that were committed to a task instead of being committed to God. God had already promised them a son, but they couldn't wait on God. So they have a committee meeting, and they invite Hagar in the picture, and they produce Ishmael. Abraham was committed to a task. He did what he could do without God. But then finally, after 15 years, Abraham got it. He finally got it. And he gets committed to God, and Abraham does what God can do through Abraham. And then Abraham's story from that point on is a story of faith. But it took him first being committed to God, being committed to a person, not a place of service, not a task, but being committed to God. Jesus, in this passage, as I said, he said, hey, Lord, I come to do your will. I'm committed to you. So what's the will of God for me, Rich Costanza? What's the will of God for you? The will of God can be summed up in one word. And as I said, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Look at me if you're in John 17, verse number 23. I'm going to wrap up with this. Jesus says this. He says in verse 23, as he's continuing this prayer, he says in verse 23, I in them and thou where? In me, that they may be perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, Jesus saying here that the world needs to believe. And how is the world going to believe? How are people that come to Walk Through Bethlehem going to believe?
How will the door of the hearts of the lost who come to walk through Bethlehem be open and receptive by the time they get to the cross and tomb scene and hear the gospel? How's that going to happen, Pastor Rich? How's that going to happen? It's going to happen when they see Christ where? In you. In you. You know, the Bible says that we are all members of his body, and Christ is the head of the body, and we should always be surrendered to the head. Be surrendered to Jesus Christ as we prepare for a walk through Bethlehem, and watch Jesus Christ, as I said, work through you and do something that only he can do. And many, many souls come to faith in Jesus Christ this year at Walk Through Bethlehem.